Well, we want to welcome all the other campuses of Springs Church. It's great to have you with us as we get into our message today. I sound like a broken record, but every year at Christmas time, I keep saying, I love Christmas. I love everything about it, you know. There's this apartment that I always drive by, and this guy, or a woman, writes humbug in lights on his balcony. And I just feel sorry for him because, yeah, I could start thinking of all the ways I don't like Christmas. It's too commercialized. It shouldn't be about Santa Claus or the Grinch or the elves. And I just think, just get over it and look for an excuse to party. Satan didn't invent partying. God did. He just took it and corrupted it. And so I love everything about Christmas, from the stupid shopping to the traffic to the snow to the lights. I'll go sit on Santa's knee, no problem, for a picture. And I just love the fact that it's about families, loving, laughing, giving presents. And yes, I know there's a whole ton of negative things, but why focus on that in the midst of what Jesus is doing in our life? And so today I want to talk about a message that probably for Sally and I would be a core message for us, for what God has done in our lives, for why we love Jesus the way we love him. And we're far from perfect, but let me dive in so I can figure out a way to get this done. And where's my clock? Gonna be on time today. It's not on there. Just give me a time set. No one's back there. Okay. Here we go. They'll put it up when I need it. I'm going to be talking about winning in life by dealing with your doubt. By dealing with your doubt. According to the Word of God, whatever is not of faith is sin. Therefore, your worrying is sin. Therefore, your anxiety that you don't deal with, that's messing with your head, your heart, messing with your spouse's head, your spouse's heart, everybody around you's head, and everybody's around you's heart, it spreads. And so I want to show you a word called doubt. And I want to show you how to deal with it, because it is costing every one of us here. I'll tell you the truth. Every time I have lost, this has been the culprit. Every time I have not seen God's best in my life, this has been the culprit. Every time I've seen a little bit of a miracle, but not the completion of the miracle, this has been the culprit. And every time I've seen something continue to grow and to succeed, it's never been me and my ability. It's been dealing with this thing called doubt, because Jesus has already given us the measure of faith. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24 is a powerful portion of scripture, and let's just kind of read it really quickly together. So Jesus answered and said to his disciples, "Have faith in God." Let's stop right there. It says, have faith in God. Another way to say this, if you check out the versions, is have the faith of God. How can you have the faith of God? Because God is within you. And if God is in your spirit, then every attribute that God has is within you. His peace, his joy, and his faith. The one who spoke the worlds into existence, the one that declared and gravity and planets and all that is around us, he spoke it into existence. This God, his faith, his peace, his joy is within us because of this gift called Jesus. So he says, have faith in God, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. This mountain is a type of a big problem in your life. Whoever says to this mountain, put your mountain in there, and it would be totally accurate. Be removed, be cast into the sea. And if he doesn't doubt in his heart and believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. In this stunning teaching by Jesus of how you can walk above your circumstances, how you can be victorious regardless of the mountains and the problems that you're dealing with, he only gives one clarification of a possible loss. Don't doubt in your heart. He didn't say don't doubt, period, because we have doubts in our heads. We all have. But he said don't doubt in your heart. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, this beautiful gift that we talk about at Christmas time, and he comes within us, he brings his peace. If you don't have his peace, there's a problem. There's something that's not working for you in your Christianity. He brings a joy. And if you're not walking in that joy, then you're not doing something. You're not experiencing this Jesus properly. He comes in to change us. And if you're not changing and you're stuck in the old ruts of your past, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. This faith is to cause you to change, your marriage to change, your health to change, finances, home, everything about your world changes when a faith comes to play. Now, I'm not talking about a faith that the world has. This is the problem with many Christians. We watch New Age, we watch all these people, and they talk about having faith. Now, the word faith in the English language for everybody else, it just means a positive emotional response. Have faith. But that is not what it means to a believer. There is a faith that comes to you and I that Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, there only is one way to get this faith. It is, the Bible says, faith, this God kind of faith, comes by hearing and understanding God's word. There is a faith that is available to everybody here who has given their life to Jesus Christ. And this faith is for you to apply it to the mountains and the circumstances in your life. And if you do, and you learn to deal with this thing called doubt. Now, doubt's not a demon. It's not a devil. Doubt is simply how it's you not controlling your mind, and it goes into doubt. And it's very easy to control once you understand the three steps of doubt. You just shut it right down. And then faith begins to go to work. And the Bible says through faith and patience is where you win in life. So we can't doubt in our heart. Over the years of pastoring and in my own personal life, if I could tell you stories of times that miracles began in my life but never finished. Where something started and I saw God in it, and then it never came to fruition. Where I saw a bit of a miracle, but not the one I was believing for. And it can leave you really hurt. It can really leave you wondering, how does this work? Was it not God's will for this to finish? Was he just teasing me with a little bit of power and then not finishing for me? When Jesus walked the planet, oh, I got to chase this rabbit because it's going to help somebody. After about 37 years of studying the Bible, and that's as an adult, because my mom and dad taught me the Bible as a child, year after year after year after year. My dad would pay me to memorize the Bible. He'd give me a penny a verse, so I found all the short ones like Jesus wept, rejoice evermore. And I mean, I learned chapters and books of the Bible because that's how I made money. And I didn't realize how smart my dad was because of the word. But when you understand, I shouldn't have chased that rabbit. I forgot my point. When you understand how special Jesus and his word is. That's what I was going to say. In all my studying of doctrine, and the Bible is the most incredible, beautiful book. The fact that it's been written over 1,600 years by 40 different men, and it is so incredible, is beyond my mind. Like, I've been studying it for decades, and all it does is show me more beauty and more power and how incredible this God is. I am so in love with the Word of God because it answers every problem I've ever found in our lives. And then the more I study doctrine, the more I am shocked by the stories of Jesus. One story can clear up about 40 different doctrinal points. You can study all this doctrine, trying to figure out where God is here, where God is there, and then you go back to one story of Jesus, and he clarifies a ton of doctrine with one beautiful story. And I love that, because who in the world wants to walk around being a theologian only? I want to be a practicing Christian, walking in love, walking in joy, overcoming by faith, dealing with every problem, everything that comes my way. I want to win. I don't want to sit in a room somewhere and be a theological expert. I want to put it to work in my life. So here's a story that you know, but let's take it apart, because I promise you it's going to change the way you look at this Christmas season and the next year. Matthew 14, 22, immediately Jesus told, and I'm reading from the Expanded, so it's a little clunky, but it's pretty special. It says, if you're looking for a Christmas gift for a person that's really hard to buy, there's a Bible called the Expanded Bible. It is stunning. It makes the Bible so interesting. And it, anyway, that's a good one to buy. If you got a Christian you want to buy for. Immediately Jesus told and compelled, made his followers, disciples, get into the boat and go ahead of him across the lake to the other side. He stayed there to send the people home and to dismiss the crowds. After he had sent them away, dismissed them, he went by himself up into the hills and the mountains to pray. And it was late, and when evening night came, Jesus was there alone. By this time, the boat was already far away, many stadia, and a stadium was about 600 feet from land. It was being hit, buffeted, beaten by the waves. Has your life ever been hit by the waves of life? Have you ever had a relationship, just a storm begins to blow, or all of a sudden things that you thought were working aren't working? And anyway, so this boat is being buffeted by the winds. And it says between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, which is called the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the water. They were afraid, terrified, and they said, "It's a ghost," and cried out in fear. But Jesus quickly, immediately spoke to them and said, "Have courage." Okay, "be of good cheer" is the King James. It means have courage. Then he says, "Do not be afraid." Two things: have courage, don't be afraid. Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water." I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said, "Come." Peter left the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. This storm, this water, is a type. This story is being told not so we can all wow by Peter, but so that we will know how to deal with the storms in our lives. We will know how to deal with the wind, the waves, the buffeting surf, or not the surf, but the spray, the, you know, all that's going on, walking on top of your circumstances. So it says that Peter left the boat, walked on the water to and came towards Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, when Peter saw the wind, he became afraid, terrified, and he began to sink. He shouted, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, took hold of Peter, and said, "Your faith is small." Well, the Bible says we all have the same measure, so why is he calling him with small faith? What little faith you have, you of little faith, why did you, look at the word, doubt? Jesus, quickly being the Son of God, knowing that God the Father creates by faith, Jesus did his miracles by faith, and he understands faith so well that he could tell, why did you doubt? He didn't say, why did you become afraid? He said, why did you doubt? And he gives us the very first thing, not the first, but he gives us a real look at how doubt begins to control the miracles, the things we're trying to win in life. And it stops the supernatural power of God and leaves us, like everybody else, having to deal with our own strength, our own thinking, our own emotions, our own abilities, when Jesus died to give us his power, his strength, his mind, his emotions. Why isn't it happening? I was talking with a person, just one of the guys recently, and he said, "Someone asked me this question. I'm learning God's word, but I want to know Jesus. How do I get to know Jesus and not just the word?" So we were chatting about it, and when it comes right down to it, you cannot separate Jesus from the word of God. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God before the world was even created. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on for an entire number of verses showing us that Jesus is the Word, or that Jesus is the revelation of God. Jesus is God showing us who he is, what he is like. And so you cannot. So a little note from how I look at it and how I've experienced it. As I've learned to study the Word and just read the Word and just say, Holy Spirit, guide me in the Word. And I keep reading it, bringing it into my life. It suddenly began to change for me, where instead of being a knowledge-based thing like I would do when I studied for exams, and I would cram and I'd understand principles, whether it was, you know, first-line drugs, or whether it was, I was a paramedic years ago, and it's all the tests and the things, and I would just memorize and learn all these things, and it was just a knowledge. But when you study the Bible, which is a living thing, because Jesus is the Word, you just can't separate them, folks. Now, if you make the Word law, then it's just dry. But if you make the Word a person, this is Jesus speaking to me. This is Jesus guiding me. Something happens to you, and the Word begins to speak to you even when you're not reading it. You'll be in the middle of a situation with your spouse, and all of a sudden the Word will rise up and say, a soft answer turns away wrath. And it's the Word speaking to you. But who's the Word? Jesus. You'll be in the middle of a situation financially, and you're trying to figure something out, and you're going, should I even attempt this? Should I even do this? And all of a sudden, rising up from within you, is he's given you the power to make wealth, that he might establish the covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it still is this day. And the Word begins to rise up within you. You cannot separate Jesus, and you'll begin to sense Jesus and know Jesus as you focus on the Word. But if you try to not, if you're not going to become disciplined in learning the Word, getting into a church that'll teach the Word, and begin to figure out a way, whether you listen to messages and read the Bible and teaching books, this whole ability to get God's Word into you, if you don't do that, you will never know Jesus. Okay? And so Jesus and the Word are the same thing. So now, let's thinking about that principle. Here's Peter. He's in a boat, and there's a storm, and this storm's going to kill them all because they're all freaking out. And Jesus starts walking on the water. Now, back then, the thinking was, the superstition was amongst fishermen, was that if you saw a ghost, it was a sign you were going to die. And that is why whenever you see in the Old Testament, someone sees an angel, or they see Jesus, or they see something, they absolutely freak out. I mean, I would too, and you would too, if you happen to walk into your bedroom and there's this glowing angel saying, I have a word for you, Leon, today. I go, oh, hi, how you doing? Want a cup of coffee? It's not going to happen like that, okay? But they thought they were going to die. So they see it, and Jesus knew that in order for this miracle to continue, him to get into the boat, the storm to be stilled, Peter to walk on the water, to make it to the other side, where an incredible miraculous crusade was going to take place and tons were healed, that he had to be careful with those people. Because you and I, oh man, I got so much, you and I have the authority, the human race has the authority on the planet, which is why God wants to be inside of us. And so does the enemy. He said, be courageous, don't be afraid. So they heard his voice. Now, Jesus has spoken. Now, we're not going to kind of split up the triunity of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but when God speaks, worlds come into being. When God speaks, you know, the seasons came into being. Everything came into being from planets. When Jesus speaks, there's no difference. When Jesus speaks, he is God with us. So Jesus said earlier, we're going to the other side, get in the boat. They had a spoken word from God, you're going to the other side. If they'd have just believed that, they'd have walked through that storm no problem. But they couldn't believe the spoken word of God that said, going to the other side. So here he is now, and he says, hey, be of good courage. They've got a choice. Do you believe the words of Jesus and be courageous? Well, Peter, and everyone knocks Peter in this story, and it kind of bugs me. Because when he said, be courageous, Peter took that first one to heart. To get out of a boat, if you've ever seen the Lake Galilee, and to get out of a boat in the middle of a storm is certain death. How are they going to turn a sailboat around in a storm to get you before you drowned? They can't. You're going to die before they ever get back to you in time. So, courage? I'm telling you, that man found courage. And he gets up, and then Jesus says, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus said, come. One word, come. But it's the Son of God speaking that word. It's the revelation of God with us. There's no difference between Jesus and his word. They're both the same. When Jesus says, come, and by the way, they didn't have a New Testament to read yet. Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking on top of the water to Jesus. Now, as he's walking on the water, it says he became very aware of the wind. What did he do? He was locked on to Jesus and he changed his focus. Instead of locked on to Jesus, because the waves, see, he wasn't walking on a flat pool. Jokingly, there was one time I was in Phoenix with Sally and they had this fountain and it was spraying water out and it was only literally this deep and had a black kind of black lining and it looked like a deep pool. So for a joke, I lined up the camera and said, just practicing some water walking. And I just kind of walked and it looked exactly like I was walking on the water. But this wasn't like a calm wave. This is waves rolling at him. He would have been walking up and down waves. I mean, this is not an easy little thing that we're just seeing a little flat pool. Peter walks on the water and he begins to sink. Why did Peter begin to sink? Well, Jesus said to him later, why did you doubt? Now, most people who don't receive miracles don't like to ever think that they had any part to play with it. That is such a pervasive teaching around the planet that faith, everyone's backed away from teaching faith, teaching God's word. Because then, are you saying that this could be, you know, I let doubt in? Well, if you either have to decide, I'm going to learn the word of God and I want truth. Or just, I don't want any blame. I don't want to think it's anything I could have or couldn't have done. And so if it happened, it's God's will. And someone says, well, you know, Leon, this bit about faith is ridiculous. If it's God's will, it's going to happen. That's a ridiculous statement. If it's God's will, it's going to happen. Really? Wasn't God's will you cussed at the driver on the way to church today? The Bible says he is not willing that any should perish and go to hell. 100,000 a day are going into eternity without Christ is what we kind of figure out when we do our stats around the planet. But that's not his will. You're right. It's not his will. Just because something is God's will doesn't mean it's going to happen. There needs to be a human being in agreement with God. And that is where we have faith, believing, and then God and man work together and something miraculous takes place. So here's Peter walking on top of his circumstances, seeing a miracle. He's walking on the water. It's like you and I walking on and seeing sickness change, seeing our relationships change, seeing the things that the banker said it's impossible changing and money's beginning. Whatever your storm is, whatever your circumstances are, we always say, well, under the circumstances, I guess I won't make it tonight. Well, why are you under the circumstances when you're to be walking on top of the circumstances, on top of the storm? Peter's walking on the water and he begins to sink. Have you been in the middle of a situation where you started to get a miracle? I have, lots of times. That's what made me dive into the word. Because you're in the middle and you see God do a miracle here and a miracle there. And you think, it's going to happen. And then it doesn't finish. So I guess it wasn't his will. Miracles are always his will. Let's look at Peter. Peter's walking on the water to Jesus. He gets locked on to Jesus. Focus off Jesus. Focus on the wind. The second he's focused on the wind, his brain goes, people can't walk on water. What the? Beep, beep. I mean, you see, to be fleshly minded is where you're going to lose. To be spiritually minded is where you're going to win, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and on. So his brain would have started to doubt. This is impossible. Now, where doubt is left, fear immediately comes in. Doubt, then fear. And when fear comes in, it opens the door to just a spirit of fear, and faith just shuts down. Wherever you worry, faith is not at work. Wherever you are anxious, faith is not at work. Which is why the prayer of commitment, which is casting your cares on him when you are believing God for a miracle, is absolutely crucial, because you cannot pick up the cares of this miracle. You cannot pick up the worry, the stress, the anxiety. When you do, faith just shuts down. And faith, by the way, flows through you. Peter is sinking. He's done something wrong. He's got his eyes off of Jesus. And then doubt comes in. And then as soon as doubt comes in, fear comes in. And when fear comes in, we all know what that feels like. There's lots of different ways to say fear. It could be terror. It could be anxiety. It could be worry. It could be stress. Whatever word you want to give it. but he begins to sink. As he begins to sink, he could have gone, "What kind of a friend are you? You said, 'Come, I came,' and I'm sinking here." Blub, 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 gone. He could have gotten mad. "Oh, thanks a lot. Tell me to come. And here I am in the middle of this storm with you. And do you think you can help me?" "Oh, no." Blub, 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 die. But I want you to notice what Peter did. He asked. He wanted a word from God. He wouldn't move till he had a word from Jesus. Then when he's in the middle of the miracle and he is sinking, he immediately reached out to Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. You see, when you're going through things and it's not going the way you want, the way that we get off base is that we begin to focus on the problems, the pain. And the pain can be a relationship pain that almost toasts you. It can be a physical pain that's got growths or cancers or something is going on. Or it can be a financial pain that everything you've worked for is about to go. You're sinking in debt. You're sinking into divorce. You're sinking into sickness. You're going to die. Whatever this storm is, and you're sinking, it's not a good feeling when you're under the water. I've almost drowned, like probably many of you have, and it's an awful feeling when that water starts filling up your throat. And you go, "Anybody help me?" Jesus reached out and grabbed him by the hand. He didn't throw him over his shoulder and drag him to the boat. Doesn't even say that. It says they went to the boat, which means you put him back on his feet on the water, and they walked back to the boat. What are you in the middle of right now? What do you believe in God for? If things aren't happening the way you want, you need to make a decision, because my time is up, so this is up, I don't know how many parts sermon, but that doubt is something only you can control. Doubt is not demonically controlled, although I know he will always try to shoot doubts. It is your focus. So those three words I'll give you, and you can study this for yourself as you continue this week, is that when you get your eyes, your focus on your symptoms, your circumstances, your storm, it creates doubt. Where doubt is not immediately dealt with, it opens the door to fear. Where there is fear, Job 3:25 says, "What I fear befalls me, and what I dread comes upon me." So fear is worry, anxiety. If you're sitting here and you've been praying for something, but you worry about it, your faith, there's no faith in that prayer. It's just a bunch of words, and words are containers. And so don't be like so many of us have done. I know I have. We're in the midst of something. I got my eyes on Jesus initially, and the miracle began to happen. Then I started the doubt. Then I got over in my head. Then fear began to come in. And as I'm failing, I just stayed in the financial realm, doing everything I could to fix this problem. I didn't go back to the Word. I didn't go back to Jesus. Or I'm believing God for a miracle in my body, and I started getting a miracle, and then I began to doubt because symptoms came up, or I got a bad MRI, or got a bad test, and all of a sudden I begin to doubt, and then fear comes in. Now I'm just going to do everything in my power. And I work with doctors. I have no problem with surgery and medicine. They all work together with faith, unless you believe they're going to stop you. And then I never got back to my eyes on Jesus. I never got back to my eyes in God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And whatever you're going through today, make sure that you stay focused on the Word. That means you need to go talk to your banker and let him know you're fine. Your payments are going to be late. Go talk to your doctor and get him to test and get you the MRI and the blood test you need. Because those things don't stop faith. It's just that you are not focused on them as the power and the authority of your life. I go for checkups. I go, if the doctor says, "Hey, you need a blood test," done, I'll go do it. If he says, "Hey, you need this and change that," thank you. Now I know how to pray. I know how to work out. Know what to do with my diet. I have no problem with getting more information. It's not this dumb faith that I'm talking about, but I'm talking about, what are you focused on? Who is the authority in your life? Is it your symptoms, financially, relationally, physically, or is God's Word? And Peter went back to God's Word. As he is going down, Jesus, he goes straight back to Jesus, and Jesus is the Word. He is the Logos in the Greek, which is the very revelation of that Word. Well, I've just scratched the tip of what Jesus is unpacking for us in this story. You see, I'm not going to go try a walk on the water. Now, if I get a word from Jesus that I've got to do it, fine. I like going into God's Word because now there was no New Testament for these people to go to. But after Jesus died on the cross, in the decades that were ahead, they began to record everything that Jesus had said and done. Not everything, but enough to give us the canon of Scripture and to complete it. And then the Apostle Paul began to give us the epistles as Jesus taught him grace and Jesus taught him the gift of righteousness. There's something about in the middle of whatever you're doing, whatever you're building. You know, Sal and I, when we first started becoming the senior pastors of a church, we realized we had to walk by faith, that only faith would please God. And every time there's a financial crisis, staff quitting, people leaving, stuff going on, money not coming in, bills not being paid, we had a choice. Now, we would do what we could in the physical, but we kept our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And then year after year, decade after decade, this church began to grow and change lives by the hundreds and then by the thousands and now by the millions around the world in all these different languages. But I'm promising you, every day of our life, doubt would raise its head, and we'd often, sometimes we would even get into it, and things would just kind of start slowing down and shutting down. And we're saying, God, what's going on? We got to pray through. No. Just, have I let doubt in anywhere in my life? It's the only thing that can stop the miraculous in our world. And I want to challenge you today, if you stay out of God's Word, bad English, good point, but you're screwed. Because you can't get faith any other way. I can encourage you with stories, but it's when I teach you the Word that faith comes. This faith comes from where? It's in your spirit, but it's now coming from within you as you renew your mind and make your body a living sacrifice. There's somebody here right now that thinks they have emotional problems. You don't have emotional problems. You got thinking problems. Emotions always follow your thinking. So I'm a fearful person. No, you're a wrong thinking person. Leon, I'm a nervous person. No, you are a wrong thinking person. Leon, I've got emotional disturbances. No, you've got thinking disturbances. Because wherever you can renew your mind with God's Word, Romans chapter 12, it says that's when you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that word perfect means that mature. So you want good and acceptable emotions and living, then it's the Word that must renew your mind. Emotions are not initiators, they are reactors. Emotions never initiate anything. Emotions always react to the thinking, either conscious or subconscious. Therefore, the Word changes relationships, changes what we're doing. And if every area of our life, and my challenge to you today is, stop blaming the devil, stop blaming God, and recognize there's one word that we find in the New Testament called doubt. And the only way to deal with it is just get more of Jesus, and it just begins to go out. Well, how do you know it's going? You know, add some fire to ice, and do you really wonder if it goes? No, it's going to go. Stay in God's Word. Watch what He'll do in your life this Christmas season and into the new year. Father, I pray, bless each person here. Touch them in a powerful way. I pray this beautiful gift of Jesus will be something they'll pay attention to, that they'll realize this Jesus is the Word of God, the revelation of God to us, that as we focus and read and enjoy, and Holy Spirit teaches us about Jesus through His Word, that, Father, everything changes. I ask You to touch each person here. Every head bowed for just a minute. If I want to close my message down in a powerful prayer, a prayer that I can't say for you. It's a prayer that only you can pray. It's a prayer that God will never force on you. It's a prayer of asking Him to come into your heart, to forgive you, to be your Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to simply do that right now. For all those who are here who say, Leon, please include me in that prayer. I need to pray that prayer and invite Jesus into my heart. Would just you folks open your eyes, all of that, just give me a quick wave, say, yeah, include me. And we're just all of us going to pray this prayer together right from where we are. For those right now in the other campuses, there's a pastor or a leader at the front. And if you know, I need to give my life to this Jesus, I'm listening to you speak and I want Him. Would you just wave a hand right now? I'm going to pray in 3 seconds. So just wave it. Let them see your hand. And we're all going to pray together with all these amazing folks making a life-changing decision. The prayer goes like this. Just say out loud, "Dear God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus, who died in my place. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm serving you, following you, for the rest of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen." Welcome to the family of God. For anyone that prayed that, everyone that prayed that and meant it from your heart,